Welcome to the Embryo Adoption Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Mellinger. On this show, we explore the possibilities embryo adoption offers to families often struggling with infertility, though not always. Through insightful interviews and moving stories, we uncover the blessings of this unique path to parenthood. This podcast is brought to you by the National Embryo Donation Center, giving hope to those longing to grow their families. Now, let's get started. From thinking embryo adoption was weird to doing it three times. That's the story of Janae Schneider, and she's my guest today on the Embryo Adoption Podcast, brought to you by the National Embryo Donation Center. You can learn more about our work at embryodonation.org. Hello, I'm your host, Mark Mellinger, and Janae, so good to have you with me today. You and your husband, Clayton, came through the NEDC and have a terrific story, but I mentioned at the outset you thought embryo adoption was weird when you first heard about it, and that is not an uncommon thing. So that's one good reason to have you on. Other people are probably walking through that as well. So just walk me through the first few times that you heard about it.
Yeah. Well, I think the very first time, like it was ever mentioned, my cousin's wife had kind of just said something. We were talking about adoption. They have a son they had adopted through traditional adoption. And we were talking about our infertility diagnosis and things like that. And she said, well, have you ever heard much about embryo adoption? And really quickly, I was just like, oh, no, that sounds weird. I don't know what that. I really, truly didn't understand it is where I would say when I first started hearing about it, I didn't understand what it meant. I didn't understand that these were fertilized eggs, embryos that were already babies, just frozen and waiting. So I didn't fully understand that. All I knew was traditional adoption. I didn't even know that this existed. And so I think it was more just the unknown that seemed weird to me. It was different. Different might be a better word than weird.
Well, and it does take some time. You have to camp out on it a little bit and look into it to really grasp what it's all about. And obviously, you eventually did that. What started to change your mind?
So we were pursuing traditional adoption. I was researching options and really, I was really overwhelmed with the process and I wasn't getting traction with any of it. And I had randomly mentioned something to my mom over Thanksgiving that year. We'd really been praying about it. And I mentioned something to her kind of in a joking manner about like, yeah, well, you could even have somebody else's baby or something. I don't know. I said something kind of flippant. And she was like, wait, what is that? And I was like, well, I don't know much about it, but you know, apparently you can adopt embryos and have a baby that way. And she's like, you know, I know you have a desire to be pregnant again. We do have a baby already. I have a 6-year-old, but she's like, I know you have the desire to be pregnant again. So if you could adopt and get pregnant, that sounds amazing. I hadn't really given it really any serious thought. And so when she said that, that kind of got me like, I dismissed it still, but it was in my mind. And then she had later, I think the next week, saw an NEDC story on the news and she sent it to me. She was like, this is crazy. We were just talking about it and now I saw it on TV. So.
And you went down the rabbit hole from there.
Yeah, and we did. And from there, I think the coolest part is that it just clicked. There was, no one in our circles knew what embryo adoption was. Nobody had heard of it, but anytime we took it to a family member, a friend, our small group, everybody was like, this sounds amazing. And so for them not to have any prior knowledge, but then to say yes, it was really affirming. I feel like the Lord just kind of kept saying yes.
And you mentioned that you do have an older son, Clark, who is now a big brother. We'll give away the end of the story. You probably figured if you're listening to this that there's a happy ending. And there is. Yes. But here's the thing. Your journey with the NEDC was not easy. And I know we don't want to pretend that it's easy and we don't want people to see embryo adoption through rose-colored glasses. One goal of this podcast and through all of the outreach that we do at the NEDC is to give people a realistic picture. And yes, we love sharing success stories, and it's easy to do because the overwhelming majority of our families who come through to adopt embryos are success stories. You know, when you have 85% of couples who come in through for multiple tries having a baby at the end, you have a lot of success stories. So we're just telling the truth when we do that. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean it always works out. And I think for a while, you and Clayton thought you were going to be one of those couples for whom it was not going to work out. So I'm just interested in you sort of sharing what your journey with the NEDC looked like once you decided to take the plunge.
Yeah. So once we initially said yes, we knew we wanted to do it. We went ahead and applied, and we applied in January of 2021. So that was kind of our timeline. That's where it got kicked off. And so, beginning process, you know, went smoothly. I would say, one thing we started out as an open adoption, initially with our process. We found donors. To me, that was hard. It was really hard to pick donors. That was a hard part in the process. When I look back and think about parts that were really challenging for me, I don't know why that was as hard as it was. I don't know if it was, I don't really know, but it was difficult. I think it just didn't take it lightly. It was, how do you choose? So we kind of ended up figuring that, working through that. We found some really great donors. And so we transferred our first transfer, was in November of 2021. And so that transfer, we transferred two embryos, and it resulted in a chemical pregnancy. So very early miscarriage. My initial numbers came back positive, but very low. And then we ended up losing those babies. And so, that was definitely a really difficult part of our journey. That first set of donors, I had a unique story that I was very attached to. And so it was, for us, it was mourning the loss of those babies and that future I had kind of pictured there as well with that family. And just, there was a lot. So we had to kind of take a minute after that. That was, you know, right about Christmas time that we were finding out that, you know, this hadn't worked. And so I just said, okay, I want to enjoy Christmas with our son, Clark. I wanted to just focus on that. And thankfully I had, you know, that I could put my attention into, that definitely helped. Then we decided, okay, we did want to try again. Eventually we got back in. This time though, we knew we were going to end up needing to choose more donors because that set we had adopted originally only had two embryos, the two we had lost. And so my husband, he's wise. I'll give him a shout out because he's pretty wise on a lot of things where I get overwhelmed with details. He can kind of come in and be like, actually, I think this makes sense. So as we started looking for donors again, he said, you know, Janae, that last one was so hard because you were attached to that family as well. He's like, I think we should do a closed adoption this time. He said, all embryos deserve a chance at life. And I just feel like this is going to be less emotional for you in that way. And I do appreciate the rational thinking that he has. I'm a counselor. And so I'm a school counselor. So by trade, I think a lot. And I think about future, like I'm always thinking, well, when he's 16, is he going to be mad that we don't know, you know, some of these factors. And so I get very overwhelmed in future thinking. And I don't think that's wrong sometimes, but it was good to have that balance of Clayton to say, hey, if we're going to do this again, let's try it this way this time. So we transferred again, this time closed donors. And that was in late May, early June of 2022 then. Oh my God, I get my timeline.
Sounds right.
Great. So we transferred again, two embryos again. And then that transfer just wasn't successful. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here. I think there may have been a slight connection issue, but you know, it's worked out. So yeah, keep going.
Okay. So the transfer number two was not successful, and we had kind of made the decision even before that second transfer, like we thought we were going to be done at two. We just emotionally, financially, physically, I just felt like, okay, that would be it. Maybe one more shot and we would be done. So, you know, got the results back, the phone call that transfer wasn't successful, and started processing through that. And I was like, okay, like we're going to be a family of three. Like this is just what it's going to be. And then I had a follow-up email from one of the nurses at NEDC and had said, hey, you know, I don't know where you guys are at. I hadn't voiced that we didn't think we'd do another transfer. So she had asked, you know, if you think you're interested in that. And I just was kind of like, I don't know. I kept thinking about it. And I was like, well, I wonder what the timeline would be like. You know, I'm on summer break right now. So if I could get another one in before school starts, maybe we could do this. If this would fit into my, you know, school calendar, maybe we could do it. And when we did our follow-up with Dr. Gordon, you know, he said he was really confident. He's like, I think you're a good candidate to keep going. Like, let's figure this out. Let's kind of see what's going on here. And so, I asked him, I said, you know, can we get another transfer in the summer? And he's like, yeah. And so we turned around and transferred again July 1st. And so it was a very quick turnaround. But that time, I don't know, the third transfer, I had a renewed hope that surprised me. I think part of that was just saying yes to the Lord, that he gave us that hope in that time. My husband's job had just ended kind of abruptly too. And so it did not make any sense for us financially at all.
Right. Cause it costs a good amount of money. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. The timing didn't make sense. But we had peace that it was right. And so we were like, okay, what's one more, right? Let's try again.
So, yeah. And I remember when you came that third time, you told me, no offense, but I hope I don't see you again. So, you know, and I got it right. We hope we didn't see you again here either. Yeah. And you were, you know, so tell me how the pregnancy went.
So we initially, so again, kind of a roller coaster still, would we transferred two embryos that time, found out we were pregnant, super excited, we went in for my first ultrasound at that 6-week mark. And as we were looking, there was one baby. There were two babies. Then there was a third baby. I remember looking at my ultrasound tech and I was like, is that another egg sac? Like, we were looking at it with her and she's like, yeah, it is. And there's heartbeat. And so for a little while, I was pregnant with triplets. Two of the embryos both took. One split into identical twins. We did end up losing that identical twin set. So we were back at the 8-week ultrasound, or I think that was, or 9-week, whatever it was, that those two were no longer with us. And so that was another process, another loss, you know, that we had kind of been freaked out for a couple of weeks thinking, okay, triplets. And then we got our heads wrapped around that. And we're like, okay, we can do this. Like, we can do this. And then that was, you know, another kind of, just emotional loss to process. And so,
right. You don't just glide past that. Right. Even though you still had the one baby who was looking good and you're very thankful for that, obviously you don't just glide past, oh, well, we lost a couple.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Their lives. And I think that's part of it, that part of the journey I wasn't prepared for. I just wasn't. If you break it down, we transferred six embryos in the course of our journey. I carried seven babies, at least for a time period, and then had one. So I kind of assumed too, since I had been pregnant before, I was like, oh, this will be great. I can get pregnant. This will be, you know, our issues on the fertility side were my husband's. And so I was like, I can do this. And so I think realistically, I hadn't thought about that really a whole lot. I just thought it would work, and thankfully it did that third time. We're so thankful for our sweet NEDC baby that it's just amazing. And it's all worth it. It's all worth it. But when you're in the thick of it, it's hard.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. So basically, are you saying that you went into this it sounds like you did two things that, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, so I'm going to ask you if this is accurate. It sounds like you did two things that you would encourage others to think about. One is you sort of grieved the future as you got into this. Maybe you were too attached to the future. And secondly, when it came to how it would go medically, you might have been overly optimistic. Are those two lessons from your story?
I mean, I would say, yeah, yes and no, I guess, on that. Because I think that the optimism and the hope is really important. I think it's really important to go into it with a good mindset and having that hope that obviously we want this to work. And so nobody's going to go into it being like, oh, you know, we'll just see what happens.
This probably won't work, but here goes.
Yeah, but why would you do that? So you have to have that optimism there. But at the same time, it's the reality that, okay, like, we need to keep open hands with this because we have no control. Like, we're going to do everything that we can. And then ultimately, it's up to God if we get to carry these babies to life here or if they go on to heaven with him. So that was kind of, I think, after going through the first couple of losses, we kind of learned that. And so maybe that's why that third transfer ended up going even better, because we just kind of had that reality in mind. But yeah, it's like, you want to have hope, but you also want to be realistic that you really can't control the outcome. And so it's that surrender, I think, of the outcome and knowing you're doing everything you can to give those babies the best chance at life that they can have. And you're just trusting God with the outcome.
And talk about Carter, your NEDC baby, what he's brought to your family.
Oh, Carter is the best. We love Carter so much. So he is just the sweetest little baby boy. And I don't know, I say a lot, he's perfect in every single way, except he doesn't sleep through the night. That's our only flaw. Otherwise, he's amazing. He's sweet. He's happy. He's brought so much joy into our family.
How's Clark like being a big brother?
He loves it. I was a little nervous because he'd, you know, been an only child for over 5 years by the time we had Carter. And so I was scared, you know, he's had all my attention. But he's done great. He loves him. He's always like, can I hold him, please? And Carter's almost 9 months now. And so they're able to interact and play more, and we'll get on the floor and sit with them and look at books with them. And it's really fun. He loves them.
And it's just going to grow from here too, which is great. They're going to have a terrific brotherly bond. One thing I wanted to ask you about too, Janae, is that you really did look at this as an opportunity to help others who might have interest in embryo adoption as well. You did a blog while you were going through this, and we directed at least a couple of times some of our other NEDC families to it on our social media and everything. What did you think of that experience? Was that a healthy thing? As you look back on it, are you glad you did it? What would you say to other moms who are thinking about this?
Yeah, I think initially my kind of purpose in the blog was so I could share it, because I knew that no one in my direct circle knew what embryo adoption was. And I just kept thinking, I was like, everybody knows someone who's gone through infertility. We can all say, like, you know someone that's gone through infertility. But this is something none of my circle had ever heard of. And so I just was like, this is something people need to be aware of. And so that was kind of my initial thought in creating the blog. But it really turned into something that was therapeutic for me. It helped me throughout the process just to kind of organize some of my own thoughts and feelings. It helped me process through some things. And I mean, I shared what I felt like was appropriate. It wasn't going to be my diary or my prayer journal exactly, but it did. It helped me kind of process through. And there were some blog posts that were really hard to write. But I did find some closure in writing them. So yeah, I mean, to me, it was really good. Even if you didn't share it with people, something for yourself to journal the process, I think would be helpful.
That's excellent insight. And if you're listening to this and thinking about blogging, play that part back, because I think it's helpful. We've had a lot of moms who have done that. And I think to a person, each one has said, no, it was a good experience for various reasons. So anything you wish you had known going into the embryo adoption process, looking back on it now, that you'd like to prepare others for?
Well, I mean, I think really my biggest thing is just really trying to put it all in the words here, but keep an open mind. Don't close yourself off, because where I had said some things, you know, well, that's weird, or we're only going to do two. I keep thinking, if I had been closed-minded, if I had been just completely closed to things, I wouldn't have Carter. I wouldn't, if I hadn't kept an open mind to some of those things. And if I had just let that initial disappointment of that first transfer, because it broke my heart, if I had let that, you know, keep me, I wouldn't have him. And so I know it's not for everybody to do multiple transfers. Not everybody can. And some people have peace about that too. And so I'm not saying, you know, just keep going if that's not what the Lord's telling you to do, but keep an open mind, keep those voices, people that are going to be encouragement, keep those close as well. You know, my family is really encouraging in it. And when we had the conversation about the third transfer, my dad's like, why wouldn't you do it again? You know, he's a cheerleader. And I knew that's the answer I was going to get from him. And so, and then, you know, my mom being like, yeah, I'll go with you. Like, her husband couldn't that time. She's like, we'll make it work. Like, we will, you know, I think we had the right encouragement as well along the way. And so keeping those voices close, I think is really important. Who you know you're going to lean into, people that are going to be there for you. You need a good support system in this. And it doesn't have to be everybody. You just need a few close friends to walk with you in it. And there, you know, there's always going to be people that don't understand, and that's okay. But find the people that get it and really walk closely with them through it. I think that's, you know, a piece of advice. And then, yeah, just keeping your heart open to what the Lord would have for you.
Well, and even that you were open to changing from going with an open adoption to a closed adoption. You mentioned how hard it was doing the embryo selection the first time. Even that, it was wise to take a step back, say, maybe I need to hold this more loosely, because I had become so emotionally involved with this first family. I mean, you know what I'm saying, might look like, to going closed. And that's how God brought you Carter. Do you have any other thoughts on the selection process? Because it is, and even whether you go open or closed, it is a selection process. And I think there is a bit of an unusual nature to it, because no profile is better than another. No family is better than another. No set of circumstances is better than another. That's, you know, it's a hard thing. It's like what you're looking for there really is fit. Do you have any other like thoughts on that that might be helpful for other families?
I don't know if I have advice, because I mean, for me, it was really overwhelming. So I think kind of finding, I heard some other people kind of talk through it, kind of what they had done, and just finding some parameters that you think would be, you know, would be helpful. So, you know, if there is something, you know, you guys, your family is really tall or something, you think it would make sense. Like, I think that was what was hard for me initially, because I didn't want to be superficial.
Right.
I didn't want to be like, I want a baby with blue eyes because I have blue eyes. You know, I thought that maybe wasn't okay at first. But you have to have some way to narrow it down, because there are so many options. And so I think it's important to just kind of think about, you know, what might fit your family the best. And, you know, for us, I mean, I did end up searching that would have similar features to Clark, just because that gave me some parameter. And it's funny because Carter does look a lot like us. I mean, people all the time are like, he looks exactly like you. And I'm like, oh, thanks. You know, okay. I just take it and say, thank you. Because he's mine. So sure. That's great. We'll go with it. You know? So I think, I don't know if that's helpful, but just having, you know, again, keeping an open mind, you might end up kind of finding profiles that you weren't, you know, initially would have said no to. For me, another one that helped was the size of the embryo pool. I knew that I didn't want a large set. Like, that was something I was like, I don't want to get, you know, to get a sibling set of, you know, a large number of embryos, because I knew that we already had one child and I didn't think we'd be doing like, you know, multiple transfers. And so that was something else that was a factor for me, kind of helped us.
All terrific thoughts. Well, Janae, thank you so much for setting aside the time and recounting your journey. We're happy for your family and so glad you're part of the NEDC family. I think this has been really helpful.
I will say, can I say one more thing?
Of course.
Shout out to other NEDC families and moms. You know, there have been other, I've gotten to connect with other NEDC families through the journey, and that's been really fun. Was even able to find someone in my own town that was doing embryo adoption that I didn't know. And so we've gotten our babies together now and had play dates with our NEDC babies. And so I've got this added friendship and kind of a family of people that are have been through that journey. And so I'm just thankful for others that this has been additional blessing and some additional friendships that have come along the way.
Well, we're going to have a celebration where we're going to gather a bunch of our families together. Everybody's invited in summer of 2024. So the four of you are certainly invited. I know it's a little bit of a trip from Missouri, but we'd love to see you if you can make it here to Knoxville, the embryo adoption capital of the world.
It's just where all of our vacations are at this point. We just keep coming back. So that's fine.
Janae, thanks so much. And by extension, thanks to Clayton, because I know he's a big part of this story as well. This has been the Embryo Adoption Podcast. Again, if you're interested in learning more about the National Embryo Donation Center, you can go to our website, embryodonation.org. Again, that's embryodonation.org. I'm Mark Mellinger, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you so much for listening to the Embryo Adoption Podcast. I hope you enjoyed learning more about this life-changing option for building a family. Hey, if you or someone you know could benefit from embryo adoption or donation, visit embryodonation.org to get started or just to find out more. Again, that's embryodonation.org. And don't forget to spread the word, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast app. Join me next time as we continue sharing inspirational stories of the embryo adoption journey. And until then, take care.